Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
So if you'll allow me just for the next few moments, I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, God Has a Plan. Amen? How many of you know that God has a plan? Amen. The Lord has a plan, and over this past year, and I believe several years now for you, I'd venture to say that you've now found yourselves wondering, what is beyond today? What is beyond this moment? You know, it's like this climax, this culmination, you know, you've worked so hard, and now it's like, what is beyond this? Where do you go from this point on? What is up ahead in the course of life for us? And I believe for each and every one of us, church, we all ask ourselves that question at different chapters in our life, amen? Lord, what's next? What is up ahead for me? And I believe after every milestone in life, it's important that we always seek the Lord for what is next, amen? We seek after God and we say, Lord, what do you have for me? What does tomorrow hold, Lord? Because if I could advise you and give you, you know, some advice tonight, before any plans are made, before any dates are stamped out, my encouragement to us all is that we would begin with the Lord. Before we say, you know, I'm going to pursue this and I'm going to pursue that, and maybe you've already prayed about those things that you've mentioned, but I honestly desire that every single one of us would say, have I consulted the Lord? Because whether we realize it or not, though you've done homework and you've passed the test, it was God working in your life to even get you to this point. Amen? We celebrate your accomplishments because you sat in the seat. You took the tests, you listened to the teachers, you fulfilled the assignments, you fulfilled whatever it was that was required of you. But I can tell you today, it just as it was with me and so it's with many of the people who are here tonight, none of us would be here if it weren't for the Lord. Amen? It was God working in our heart and in our life to get us where we are today. And we should never forget that it's less about, you know, that it's less about what we've done and more about what the Lord has done in us. Amen? And so before we ever go on making plans, you know, for our tomorrow and for our future, we never need to forget what the Word of God says in Proverbs 19 and 21. I love this verse. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen? You see, and this must be the goal. This must be the goal for each and every one of us, that we tap into God's purpose for our life. That we tap into what it is that the Lord has purposed for our life and not us simply fulfilling our own plans. Amen? The scripture says and gives us clear instruction for seeing this through in the book of James, chapter 4, in verse 13. He writes, he says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. He said, why? He said, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. He said, what is your life? He said, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Verse 15, he said, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, then we will live and we will do this and we will do that. Amen? There's nothing wrong, church, with making plans. Amen? I believe every one of us should prepare for the future. Amen? We should put in time and effort and thought and prayer into the plans that we may desire for our life. I believe that we should never fail to make time to plan. And scripture is also clear about this, but we are, you know, when it says that we're not to be, you know, slothful in our business, we're not to be lazy in any endeavor, but believers are to plan and think about their ventures before they even act. I believe that sometimes there's usually not enough planning. Therefore, so much that we do come short and sometimes we turn out to make the wrong decisions in life. But planning before we act is not what this scripture is talking about. It's actually warning us to not plan without God. You see, like I said, we can purpose in our hearts what we desire to do in life, but the Lord is actually warning us. He's saying, don't leave me out. If you put me first, if you come together with my plan, if you come together with what I have already written for your life, what I've already willed, then you will see that my plans are going to be a lot better than what your plans could ever fulfill. Amen? How many of you know that God's plan is always better? Our plan's often too convenient for us, amen? Our plan is often the shortcut. It's the easy way. It's the way that would cost us very little and hopefully gain for us very much. But God's plan is different from ours, amen? And so this scripture is warning us not to plan without him. Despite the warning of scripture, and it gives warning after warning, a lot of people, a lot of times, plan their life without the Lord. They plan as if it's their own will or their own desire that will control their destiny of life. Now note the example in this scripture. He says how many plan to go to this city or go to that city or go where they can get this job or go where they can get that job. Establish a profession, start a business, start a career, gain recognition, and all these different kinds of things. But the failure that many men and women make all the time is yet in all of their planning, they fail to consider the Lord. We fail sometimes to consider if it is his will. God, is this your plan? When I was younger and I got to have a meeting or a soccer party, rather, for those of you that don't know, I get to coach soccer for my daughter's team on the side, and I've done it for 2 years, and the most I've gotten out of it is I've gotten a little darker because I've been out in the sun a lot. But it's been a wonderful experience to be able to coach these group of kids. And one of the things that I told them when I was speaking to them this past Sunday night is I said, you know what? When I was a kid, I had plans for my life. Those plans is I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I thought I was good enough that maybe I could one day be a professional soccer player. And the other plan that I had was to either be, if I wasn't going to be a professional soccer player, I was going to be a professional drummer. I wanted to be a professional musician. And I said, and those were my plans. I said, and those seemed right to me. Those I thought I was good enough at that I could be successful. And one day, you know, that would be something I could do with my life. I said, but at the young age of 15, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I submitted all those plans to the Lord. And I said, Lord, not yet what I want for my life, but what you want, Lord. What is your will going to be? And I said, so I went from being a guy that planned on hopefully being a soccer player or a professional musician to ultimately becoming a minister. And they're all looking at me like, wow, you know, that's crazy. And I said, listen, if we just put our plan before the Lord, there's nothing impossible for God. God can take your life and make it full of so much more purpose than you could have ever found in trying to conjure up the perfect plan for your life. Amen? The Lord is only the one who is able to do that. And so I believe, church, it's important for us that, you know, we rely on him. Self-sufficiency, Pastor was talking about that a little bit this past weekend. Self-sufficiency is the ultimate way that we show pride against the Lord. It's us saying, Lord, I can do life on my own. I don't need to consult you. I don't need to lean on you. I don't need to trust in you because you know what, God, I've got a plan. And if everything goes the way that I want it to, God, then I'm going to be at this point in life and I'm going to be at that point and everything's just going to just flow. For those of us that are maybe a little bit older than some of you guys that just graduated today, we could all say a big hearty amen when we say that our plans normally don't end up the way that we want them to. Amen. A lot of times in life, we say, oh, well, I want to do it this way, and I want to do it that way, and I got it all mapped out. It's all going to go as smooth as butter, and a lot of times, life does not allow that to happen. Don't fall into the trap of being self-sufficient where you feel little need for God. A lot of those people, they feel that their destiny lies in their hands and that they control their future. But how many of you know the Bible says that we have one who has gone before us? We have one who was in being before there was ever time. We are the created ones. We are the ones that have an assignment. We are the ones that have a written plan written out for us since before we were ever born into this world. And that author is God. Amen? And it's up for us to discover what he wants to do in our life. Hudson Taylor said this. They had definite convictions about how God's work should be done. And the thought is this, is that we can make our best plans and try to carry them out in our own strength, or we can make careful plans and ask God to bless them. But Hudson Taylor believes this, there is another way, yet there is another way of working, and that is to begin with God and to ask his plans and to offer ourselves to carry out his purpose. Amen. And so it was written that about this great believer that no other missionary in 19th century since the Apostle Paul had had a wider vision and carried out a more systemized plan of evangelizing, you know, this broad geographical area than this person, Hudson Taylor. There was an author named Henry Blackaby, and he said this: you never find God asking persons to dream up what they want to do for him. He said, without a doubt, the most important factor in each situation was not what the individual wanted to do for God, but the most important factor was what God was about to do. It's what God was about to do. And he adds this, he said, God reveals his purpose or his task so that you know what he plans to do. How many of you remember the story of Noah, right? It wasn't Noah, you know, that was building a boat because, you know, Noah wasn't building it so that God could do something. God was already going to do it, so Noah better build it. Do you see the way that works? It wasn't this thing where, you know, Noah was like, you know, I feel like I'm going to build a boat. And God's like, hey, you know what? I'll fill up the earth with water so you can float around. No. God was done with the sin that was running rampant in the world. And God said, I'm going to do this. And guess what? I need somebody. And Noah was listening and he was keen and he was ready and he tuned in to what God's purpose was going to be. So Noah was able to fulfill the plan of God where he was able to build that boat so that those animals could survive. I don't know why he put cockroaches and mosquitoes on there though. Spiders and snakes and all the ugly stuff that, you know, they could have stayed back, you know. Well, I would have been fine him leaving those out. But it was far more important to know what the Lord was about to do. Amen? It really did not matter what Noah had planned to do for God because God was about to flood the earth. And he wanted to work through Noah to accomplish the purposes of saving a remnant of people and animals to repopulate the earth. My prayer is this. My prayer for our church and our young people and our graduates is that we wouldn't live according to our own plans, but we would tune in to the purpose that the Lord has for us and see what it is that he wants to do. Amen? So how do we go about discovering the plan of God? I believe the first thing is this. Number one is we need to make the Lord our passion. Amen? We need to make the Lord our passion. Jeremiah 29:11, we know this verse, but it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. It says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. You see, in order to understand God's plans and what the Lord wants to do and the plans that God has set before us, we have to make him our passion. We have to be passionate about God above more than we're passionate about anything else in this world. We have to become passionate about who the Lord is and what the Lord is doing and when the Lord wants to do it. Amen? In that verse that we just read, it says this. It says, who knows the plans? The Lord. Amen? I don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? And that is the Lord. And so he's the one that knows them. He's the one that's written them out. Since before time, he's carefully planned every individual's life. But guess what? It would be impossible for you and I, for anyone to ever know about these plans or walk in these plans without knowing him passionately. We must seek after the Lord. The Bible says to seek after him while he may be found. To diligently sit at his feet. To spend hours and time in prayer. For those of you that graduated, you know, high school, you know, you've spent the last 12 years in school. For those of you that graduated college, maybe you've spent 16 or 18 years in school. That's a long time. But dare I say, how much time have we given to know the Lord, the director, the author of our life? Has it been 16 years? You see, if we could have a test for every time, you know, God was about to do something, you know, just like we have demands placed on us to pass the next course and to do the next assignment and all those things. Imagine if we had the same demand, the same test put on us day in and day out to know him. What do you know about him? Or is it just hearsay? Is it just what somebody else said the answers to the tests were? I hope that was none of us in school. Don't listen to somebody else's answers because you could get them all wrong just like them. You see, we need to know him personally and passionately. Your closeness to anyone will give you understanding and knowledge of who that person is. Amen? The longer that you're with a person, you'll know how their heart beats. You'll know how their life ticks. You'll know what makes them go day in and day out. And this is a simple foundation to a relationship. But the truth is, church, is that a relationship without communication and closeness isn't a relationship at all. You're just an acquaintance. The Lord is looking for those who would live in relationship with him. Amen? The definition of an acquaintance is this: a person who one knows slightly, but not a close friend. It's a person who one knows slightly, but it's not a close friend. Did you know that God does not want to be acquainted with you? John 15 and verse 13 says this: for greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. He said, I'll no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. He said, instead, I've called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This scripture is teaching me that Christ has invited you and I into friendship. Amen? He's invited us into a close fellowship with him, and he desires that we remain there, because the Bible also says that anyone who is a friend of this world is what? An enemy of God. So Christ has given us the invitation first to seek after him passionately and to know him in relationship, to come close to him and to find ourselves knowing who he is as a friend. I love that scripture that says that we have a friend in Christ who sticks closer than a brother. Amen? You see, I know Jesus that way. I know that he has never failed me. I know that every time I've ever needed the Lord to come through in my life, maybe he hasn't done it in the timing that I've wanted, but he's always done it in his perfect time. And he showed himself to be faithful. Those of you that have good friends, you know that they're valuable. Amen? You treasure them. You thank God for them every single day. I got to eat lunch with one of my friends who's in town today, and I sat down with him, and it was awesome just to hear his voice. It was awesome just to see, you know, what he's been up to and what he's doing. And I thank God because that's been a friendship that I've had for over 20 years of my life. We were once young and foolish together. But now I can look and see a man of God in front of me. And see a man of God that whenever I ask him for something, I say, hey, bro, can you pray for me? He'll pray for me. The Lord is even better than that. Even better than a lifelong friend, if you would just make him your passion. When your passion is the Lord, we don't see commands as rules or restrictions or those kinds of things, but we see them as moments and opportunities to please our Heavenly Father. Amen? When you're passionate about the Lord, it's easy. It's not burdensome. It's easy. Amen? I ask this question to myself. I'll ask us as well. Do we want to please God? If we genuinely want to please the Lord, then replace your plans with a passion for him. Psalms 33 and 10 says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations, and he thwarts the purposes of the peoples. It says, but the plans of the Lord will stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart throughout all generations. Psalm 40 and verse 5 says this, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders that you have done. He says, the things that you plan for us, it says, the things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. And he said, were I to speak and tell of them, he said, they would be too many to declare. I believe that the Lord has wonderful plans beyond this ceremony, beyond this moment for you. And it's up to us to discover his plan for us. Amen. Secondly, in order to discover the Lord's plan for our life, is we need to make God our life. Amen. See, God's not supposed to be a part of our life. God is supposed to be our life. The Bible says that he is just like the very air that we breathe. Amen? The Bible says that he is our sustenance. The Bible says that he is the one who holds us. He's the firm rock that we stand upon. Amen? He's the firm foundation of which our life can be set in. We need to make the Lord our life. John 14 and verse 5. How many of you remember Thomas in the Bible? Thomas, unfortunately, was that guy that was known for always doubting, right? And I believe that some of us, if we're not too prideful, we could relate a lot to Thomas, amen? We could relate a lot to his character in Scripture. But in John 14 and verse 5, he's having a conversation with Jesus. And it says, Thomas said to him, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? He's asking an earnest question. Now, Jesus had already revealed a lot of things before this, but Thomas wasn't listening in class. Amen? How many of you have failed to pay attention in class at times? Then the teacher calls on you, you're like, huh? You have no idea what he was just talking about. I catch my soccer players doing that all the time. I give them instructions. I'll tell them exactly what I want them to do. And then I'll call out one kid. I'll say, you! And then they're like, oh. Go ahead and explain to everybody else what we're supposed to do right now. You like what you said. I'm like, no, that's not what I said. I told you exactly how to do it. Thomas, we find here, is he's been probably not paying attention in class a lot of the times that he was sitting down with Jesus, and he still asks, how can we know the way? Jesus answered, he said, I am the way. As if, you know, we didn't need like a clearer answer. Jesus doesn't give him a parable. He doesn't explain this. He doesn't go into this extravagant story about anything else. He answers it plain and simple. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And he says, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I believe Thomas had an important question to ask the Lord on that day and in that moment. And in concern, he expresses the fact that they, and he's summing up all the disciples, they didn't know where he was about to go. So he asked, he said, Lord, how are we going to know the way? And I believe a lot of people find ourselves in a similar position, in a similar, you know, kind of way, just like Thomas was in need of direction. You find yourself in need of direction. But the problem is, church, is when a Christian finds him or herself in this situation, it's probably because they've gotten ahead of the Lord. You see, if you don't know the way, it's probably because you're ahead of the way. When you don't know what's supposed to happen next, it's probably because you've gotten ahead of the Lord and you've taken steps beyond the Lord's leading. Amen? You've moved into territory where he's not there. He's like, we're going in that direction, but you're supposed to be behind me. You're supposed to be following my lead, not leading me. I saw a neighbor going around the block the other day with her dog, and the dog was leading her, let's just say that. You ever seen when the dog just like yanking somebody, just, you know, and this lady was just getting dragged around the neighborhood. We're never supposed to try to drag God along in our life. He's the life. We follow the life. We follow the truth. We follow the way of who Jesus himself is. Amen. You cannot be led if you're ahead. You cannot be led if you're ahead. This goes for any kind of spiritual authority in life. Sometimes we need to say, you know what, Lord, maybe I've jumped ahead of where you want me to be. Let me take a step back so that I can continue to be led by you. Amen. A lot of times when we're lost and we're looking and searching for answers in this life, we need to turn to the great I am. Isaiah 46 and verse 9 says this. He said, remember the former things, those of long ago. He said, I am God and there is no other. He said, I am God and there is none like me. He said, I make known the end from the beginning. He said, from ancient times, what is still to come. He said, I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. He said, from the east, I summon a bird of prey and from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. He said, but what I have said, that will I bring about. He said, and what I have planned, that I will do. And so the answer that Jesus was giving Thomas on that day should remind us and make it very clear to us that he is the great I am. Amen? That he is the all in all. That he is the life to our soul. And I'm sure as the Holy Spirit is here tonight, that Jesus looks at the things that we desire and the things that we hope for and the hopes and the dreams that we have that we want to see fulfilled. And he says, I am. He said, I am your hope. I am your dreams. I am your healing. I am the one that you've desired. I am your fountain of life. I am your provision. I am your future. I am your plans. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am your life. And should the Lord give another opportunity for another day, then we need to put him before everything and anything that we do in this life. Amen? To place him at the beginning of every morning and before every breath, we must make him our life. Thirdly, in order to fulfill God's plan, we must also make God our all. Amen? Matthew 22, verse 37 says this. It says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with what? With all of your soul and with what? With all of your mind. And he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. You see, in order to follow Jesus at the distance of knowing his plan, we must first love God with all. We must first love him with all that we are, church. We must first love him with everything that we are. Love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength. Before we speak out plans, before we speak out, you know, the vision and the direction for our life, you know, that we believe we should be going in life, we must first take a test. And the Bible says this about that test. Matthew 6 and 21. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, a lot of people, it's easy to say that God is our all. But where your treasure is, your heart is. You'll never be able to fool God in saying, oh, Lord, you're my all or you're my everything when your heart is enveloped in something else. You see, he is the only one. The Bible says that it's his word that's sharper than a double-edged sword that's able to divide the spirit from the truth, the bone from the marrow. God is the one who is able to look into the depths of our hearts and know if he truly is our all in all. And so we take this test, though, by evaluating what our priorities have become. To say God is our all and pray for 1 minute a day would reveal that God is not our all. Amen? To say that God is our all and that we love him with all of our strength and might, but we come to one church service a year would suggest that God is not our all. To say that, oh, we love him with all of our strength, but yet we don't serve him in any kind of way would prove otherwise that God is not our all. What we do day in and day out reveals if God is our all. Amen? What we do week in and week out, how we go about our daily life, do we consult the Lord before starting our day or do we watch the news? That reveals if God is your all. Do we organize a schedule in the morning or do we spend our morning in prayer? That will reveal if God is your all. Do we catch up with the latest on social media or do we seek truth from the Savior's manuscript, from the Word of God? That will reveal if God is truly our all. And if by some chance we discover, church, by some crazy chance we discover that, you know, God hasn't been prioritized in our lives as much as we thought he was, then we must seek to have a deeper relationship with him. Amen? We must seek to have a deeper relationship with him. And in order to make God our all must begin with God. Our all must begin with the Lord. All of our hearts, cares, and desires must be placed before him. All of our souls, hurts, or pain, or issues that we've gone through in life must be given to him to be dealt with. All of our minds' battles must be yielded to the Lord for victory. Because at the end of the day, that's what reveals if he's truly our all. Recently, you know, in my own personal life, you know, I've discovered that, you know, there's areas that I still need to give God my all. And that's not to say, you know, each and every one of us, I believe we're continually being sanctified. Amen. We're continually being sanctified by truth. But we should never stop saying, Lord, I thought I had given you all of it, but you know what? There's just a little bit more that I could give. There's still something left, Lord. I thought I trusted you because I prayed about it 9 out of 10 times, but Lord, you wanted me to pray about it 10 out of 10 times. I want you to be my all, and I want you to have all of me. I believe if we want to fulfill God's plan in our life, that we need to consult him before all things. Amen? We need to bring everything before him and acknowledge, Lord, we cannot do this on our own. And we need to place the Lord as our top, top priority in our life each and every day. And so if you would just repeat after me, say, God, I want to fulfill your plans. Say, I will step aside and give you my life. So work through me as you please in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 55 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He said, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sowers and bread for the eater. Verse 11, he says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. He said, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You see, I pray that the Lord, you know, I pray the Lord is given the opportunity to accomplish the plans that he has in your life in the next stage. Amen. And I also pray that the Lord does great things in and through your life as the body of believers here at Rock of Ages. And finally, I believe that we need to make God our next chapter. Amen. We need to make the Lord our next chapter in life. Every book has a beginning and an end. Amen. And every book has an author. And the Bible speaks of the Lord that he himself is that author. Hebrews 12 and 2 says this, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I love that verse. I've read that verse many and many a times, and I love it not only because it speaks of Jesus as the author of our faith and our belief, but he's also the finisher of that faith as well. Amen? He is the only one that has the ability to get you to the completion of his purpose for your life. He is the only one that has the ability to get you to that finish line of your faith. Amen? He not only wrote it to be, but he is the one that will help you from here until he calls you to be home with him forever. And the Apostle Paul, he gives a description of Christ fulfilling his Father's plan in the next few words, saying this, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I find it interesting, church, that the plan of God isn't always easy. Amen? A lot of times we don't realize what we're asking for when we say we want what God has planned for us. But the truth is my friend, there's no safer place to be than in the middle of God's will for your life. Amen? There's no greater place that you could ever be. There's no safer refuge than being in the middle of God's plan for your life. But I find it interesting that the plan of the Lord isn't always easy for us. Paul wrote about the endurance of the cross. Did you know, church, that the endurance that it took to you know, carry that cross and the agonizing pain that Jesus went through was no easy task. In fact, no one else was fit to be able to do it. No one else would have been able to endure what Jesus had to endure on that day. It was so painful, it was so challenging, it required so much endurance that Jesus himself had to ask for help to carry that cross. And the Bible says that when he was taken up onto that hill, the Mount of Golgotha, and he was taken up there and they nailed the spikes into his hands and his feet, it wasn't over just then. When they raised him up to be lifted high before all men so that all these people could see the mockery and the shame and all the things that they were trying to do to Jesus, he still endured. You see, it would have been easy, it would have been nice. You know, I'm sure Jesus would have welcomed the idea that this would have just been a quick and painful death. But it wasn't so. It lasted hours and hours and hours. Bleeding from the side and from the back and from the hands and the feet, enduring the cross, church. This was not an easy task. It was a grueling one. It was a painful one. It was an embarrassing one. It was a task that no one else could fulfill but Jesus. The Bible says it was him who was despised and rejected. He was beaten and bruised and so many other things. And how many of you know that sometimes God's plan calls for us to endure pain? Sometimes the plan of God calls us to go through some things in life that will stretch and hurt and cause pain and torment in your life. Sometimes it seems like, you know what, those are the things that we want to reject the most. Those are the pills that we never want to take in life because they're so bitter. We don't realize how beneficial they will be for us at the end, because in the moment we see them as hurtful and we want to run from God's plan. But how many of you know God's plan is always perfect? For Jesus, in the middle of that pain, I can guarantee you that it seemed as though his father had left him. It seemed as though he was abandoned. It seemed as though it wasn't going to work out. But how many of you know we serve a God who did not end on a cross? Amen. He did not end in a tomb. He did not end in a grave. But the Bible says through the power and the plan of God, he was resurrected on the third day, risen and glorified forever. In the very same way that the Lord had his way in the life of Jesus is the very same way that the Lord can have his way and his plan fulfilled in your life if you would just endure, if you would just see it through, if you would just last another day, if you would just hang on a little bit longer, if you would submit yourself to him. Sometimes, church, the most unexpected journey that the Lord leads us on, they're crazy sometimes. We say, Lord, this is, I don't even know how this is part of your plan, but just know, the very author that has written out that plan will finish that plan in your life if you submit to him. If you hang on to Christ as the author of the next chapter in your life, if you're certain that it is God's will that you are living out, then I believe and trust that God's plans will make you sing about a resurrection even when you're hanging on a cross. See, only his plans have that kind of power. Only his plan can do just what Paul wrote about Jesus. There was a joy that was set before him. You see, I think a lot of times we see the cross and we see the picture of a cross and we say, there's no way that that could be joyful. But how many of you know the life that you are living now today as a redeemed, blood-bought believer should bring you joy that Jesus endured that cross for you? Amen? You see, he saw the joy that we would one day inherit. He saw the joy that you would one day receive if you would follow him. Amen? And so we need to continue to trust in the Lord as our faithful King. And with our life firmly in his hands, he will see us through every phase of life. But I'll say this as one final word. If you're resisting somehow God's plan or running from God's plan, just know, my friend, that it will be a matter of time before the Lord has his way in your life, because you cannot outrun God. So I'll say this, it's much easier to submit to him now. Amen? It's much easier to submit to him now. Job chapter 23 and verse 13 says this, but he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He stands alone, and who can oppose the Lord? It says he does whatever he pleases. You know, I think about that. It just reminds me how small we are and how great God is. We don't manipulate God. We don't pull God in some kind of direction. We don't pull him back and forth. The Bible says plainly and clear, he does whatever he pleases. And it says, and he carries out his decrees against me. And it says, and many such plans he still has in store. As much as you want to plan your life, life will have a way of surprising you with unexpected things that will make you happier than you ever originally planned. And that's what you call the will of God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.